Today I'm going to do something a little strange, simply because I don't know, I guess many of you are just as I am, watching the news, checking out the things that are happening, and if you've been watching, you've been seeing that our nation right now has really been receiving quite a few blows. Looking at what's happening worldwide, looking at what's happening locally, all right, looking at what's happening within our nation. Dust storms out west, and you know, to the like that we haven't seen since the Depression. All right, torrential rains, flooding in areas where you know they haven't seen flooding in some time. Places getting as much as 13 inches of rain in 2 hours, and it just does not seem to stop. Wildfires, of course, we deal with them all the time, right? How about downtown Los Angeles? And that's just about where it is. It's right on the outskirts of town. Hundreds of thousands of acres burning, hundreds of thousands of homes flooded out, hundreds of thousands of people being affected. Do you think God's trying to get our attention, people? Do you think God's trying to wake America back up because we've said, no, we didn't say it, but our government has, that we're no longer a Christian nation? And that just bothers me, because I don't know about you, but when I say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, it does say in there what? One nation under God. It also says in there indivisible. And our government has torn us asunder. I have not, and I was born in 1962, so I don't remember the riots of the 1960s. But since that point in time, we have not seen such tearing apart of our nation across the lines of race and sex. We haven't gone forwards, people. We're going backwards. So today, I really want to encourage each and every one of you to begin looking around and realizing the signs are everywhere. And you better be looking up and listening for a trumpet blast. Because it's coming, and it's coming soon. But until that day, we have a job to do. We don't just stand around with our heads in the clouds. Where is he? Where is he? We have one ear turned to heaven, the other eye and ear turned to the earth, and we get about the work to which we've been called in Christ Jesus. And today I'm going to speak about a part of that work that leads unto a crown of rejoicing. And it's not going to be the typical crown that you may be thinking of. In fact, it's going to be a little different than what many of us may think the crown of rejoicing is going to be. Because, you know, you think of the crown of rejoicing, and I think, oh boy, we're going to get up here and we're going to be singing glories unto God, and we're just going to be so happy. But it's a whole lot different than that. Because this crown comes from somewhere else. This crown is so much deeper than that emotional thing that generally takes place. Have you ever been to a concert? You know, and I love to go to Christian concerts. Don't hear me speaking poorly of them. But how much of those Christian concerts is the splash in the pan? Okay? It's the hot frying pan and a nice egg white, you know. Done quick, right? You don't let an egg in the pot forever. You pull it out because otherwise it'll burn, right? And that's exactly what some of that is. But there's a crown of rejoicing that we are going to see that's going to last for eternity. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 17 through 20. Paul here is talking to the church in Thessalonica, And I'm going to read it in the NIV, and then I'm going to read it in the King James, because there's a difference here, and there's a reason I want to read it in both, because I've taught you many times, and I hope that you do understand this, and I pray that several of you have more than one copy of a Bible. And when you're reading something, when you are doing your study, when you're doing your devotion, I encourage you not just to read it in one translation, but read it in a couple of translations. Because you'll get a fuller awareness of what was actually written, because the different translators will use different words because of the way they see the reality coming across. The NIV tries to make it simple and understandable for the common everyday reader. The King James or the NASB makes it a little bit more theologically sound. They bring the words that are closer to the actual words, that we can understand what the original message was intended. So from verse 17 in the NIV, let's read this first. It says, "But brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." Now from the King James, I want to read this because I want you to hear it a little bit closer to what was written in the Greek. He says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy." The difference here is the word glory or the word rejoicing, and the idea that Paul, the fields, they are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, "One sows and another reaps," is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Blessed be the word of the Lord unto our eternal souls. What's he saying here? That woman had gone out to the town, and she had spoken to the townspeople. And these guys are standing around saying, "Hey, Jesus, aren't you hungry? You sure you don't want something to eat? You know, you ought to build yourself up. Might need something." And Jesus says, "Whoa, wait a second, you don't understand. There's a glory that comes unto me. There's a strength that comes unto me because I'm doing the work that the Lord wants me to do. There's something that empowers me because I'm doing the Lord's will." He says, you know, you folks are all into this physical world so much that you look at the fields and you say to yourselves, "Well, in 4 months they'll be ready to harvest. Yep, looks pretty good. We got getting enough rain? What do you think?" But he says, "Look, the fields are ripe unto the harvest." By this time, the young lady had been up into the town, and the townspeople were pouring out by the hundreds into the fields to come and meet this guy that she had said. How would you feel if somebody walked up to you and said, "Oh, I just met the Christ. He's down there in the field at the well." Remember, these people were waiting for the Christ to come. These people were longing for the Christ to come because they were under persecution. Why aren't we out there doing the things we should be doing when we look around and see what's happening in our world and we just sit there and say, "Oh, well, God will fix it. Just let me pray. Lord Jesus, fix it. Thank you, Jesus." And then we go on about our day. God's going to fix it. As we get in the lives of the people, these things that are out there that are happening in this world are to remind us of an eternity that is coming. And that eternity is either heaven or hell, light or darkness, full acknowledgement of God or total and complete separation from God and eternal destruction. And God says, what you don't understand is you are building up your crown even now. As you are out there, you are reaping a harvest that you did not sow. You know, here this woman went up, and she went in, she planted the seeds, and they're coming down, and here's all his apostles. He says, now, go harvest the field. Somebody else planted it. You know, somebody, you know, Jesus planted the seed. Where did he plant the seed? In the woman. The woman went out and planted more seed. I think it's so cool because what's he doing standing at the well? He's just throwing water out there. He's just throwing water out there. He's pouring out the Holy Spirit through himself, the water of the Word. And here they come. And the disciples are being told, what are you standing here asking me for something to eat? If I want something to eat, go get busy. Bring those souls into heaven. Bring them in. Reap that harvest. It is ripe unto the harvest, even now. We don't need to wait 4 months. It's today. And you and I need to remember, that's today. You know, it's amazing because we read the book of Revelation and I don't think we understand it. It talks about the tree that yields its fruit in 12 months. Every month of the year it yields its fruit. What do you think he's talking about? It's always harvest time. Always harvest time. How would you like to know that? That you could walk out to that tree and pluck a fruit off of it just as you wanted, whenever you wanted. What do you think Jesus was talking about when he went to the fig tree and it didn't have any fruit? Here he is, the master of the universe, and he should be able to get fruit at any moment. And the tree was dead. Why? Because the people who were working the fields have not been doing their job. That's you and me. We need to be out there realizing that what has been given us isn't for us to keep, it's for us to give away. That's why Pastor gets so excited. That's why Pastor gets so real in what he's doing. Because folks, I have known the Lord. I have seen the Lord in my life. I have spoken with the Lord. He has touched me in ways, you know, I keep telling everybody, he has healed me from death 7 times. That's perfection. The next time it comes, I'm out of here. And I can't wait till he punches that ticket. But until he does, I know I have a work to do. Because 7 times he has saved me from death. Why? Not for my own glory, but for his. That I may speak the glory that he has given me. For the life I live is not my own. For I have been crucified with Christ, dead in him, yet I am alive. Where does that come from? Gee, I think that's scripture. I think it's Galatians 3:20. For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the crown of rejoicing is the crown that we will receive as we walk out into this world and bring forth the reality of Christ into this world and harvest those souls. As we open our lives and say, God, I'm not doing this for the reward, but I can't not do it either. Because there's something that is needed by this world. There's no hope in this world. All there is despair in this world. And Satan has lied to you and I, and he's told us there's nothing you can do. Who do you think you are? You're just rich dubs from Glen Rock, Pennsylvania. Well, my God is the God of the universe. My God is the God who stepped out of heaven and came to earth and said, one life makes a difference. One life is all it takes. Are you going to be that life? Because together, we're going to rock this lake. And there's going to be waves of salvation. If we will do the work of Jesus Christ, it won't be a ripple, it'll be a full-blown storm. And nothing can take back that power. You and I need to understand we have a job to do. And how do we do that? Before we get there, I want you to look at another scripture that God tells us about it. This is in Luke 15. Miss Sally alluded to this in our opening here when she was singing, when we were doing our praise hymns. And folks, here's the reality. This is, if you don't think, this is so amazing, because I hope you all don't think that, well, wow, pastor can really pull this stuff out of there. Wow, pastor really, he can make this talk about anything he wants it to talk about. No, the Word talks about the Word, right? The Word edifies the Word, right? And we simply draw our lives out of the Word. Look what he says in chapter 15, beginning in the third verse. He's talking to them in parables here. He says, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. We set heaven into rejoicing when one person that we have shared with in our lives receives the Lord. We set heaven to rejoicing. And what do you think that's going to look like when you get there and you meet all those people whose lives you have touched, who you were part of that ripple that just pushed them over that edge, that got them to say yes and turn their lives to Christ? Because in that, we are putting crowns in our jewels. Or jewels in our crown. We're putting crowns in our jewels. We're putting jewels in our crown. Every human being is a jewel being placed in our crown. And I'm going to show you that here in just a little while. You and I need to understand that God is saying something here to us. And in the book of Daniel, turn back there real quick with me. In the book of Daniel, this is Old Testament. And I'm not in the book of Daniel often, but I have to take you to the book of Daniel for this one. This is the book of Daniel. And we are in chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. I'll read them, you just follow along. I'll give you a little bit of time to get there. Because I want us to see what this is an Old Testament reality that is relevant for us today, because the very same thing that Daniel was speaking of, we need to understand is our glory today, because Christ has given it unto us. He also gave it to them at that point in time. God gave it to Israel from the beginning of time, because Israel was supposed to be doing what we're supposed to be doing now. And Israel fell short. Israel sold herself as a prostitute to false gods. And we're doing the same thing. We're just simply calling it something else. We're not calling them gods. We're calling it our job. We're calling it too much time. We're calling it, fear. We're calling whatever. But we're selling ourselves out. We're not giving ourselves to our God. But look at what he says as he's speaking to these people about the end times. Listen with your spiritual ears. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. There's your rejoicing. There is a rejoicing that is going to come out of us, that we are going to shine like the stars forever and ever as we lead others unto righteousness. Do you see the difference? There are going to be some who get in and they're going to shine brightly. But then there are going to be others who are going to shine like the stars forever and ever. Again, David, weren't you talking about the levels of rewards? That there are positions in heaven? The crown of rejoicing is one of those levels. And it's one of the most basic levels. Remember, when we bring to you these different rewards, they're not in any particular order, because I'm not sure of God's order. But this is what we're called to do. This is the Great Commission, to go out and to bring people into the Lord. Because when we do, if you're saved, you're going to shine like glory. But if you bring people, if you lead people into righteousness, you will shine like the stars forever and ever. That is your crown of rejoicing. That crown is going to beam with the joy of the Lord forever and ever and ever. When people look at a, you know, I ask this. When you get to heaven, spiritually speaking now, do you want a crown this big? Because remember, it speaks to the glory of the Lord, right? It doesn't really speak about you. It speaks to the glory of the Lord. Do you want a crown this big, or do you want a tiara? I don't know about you guys. Pastor doesn't want a tiara. If I'm going to wear a crown, Lord, make it a crown. Use me fully. Show yourself in ways that I know not through this stupid boy born in Glen Rock, Pennsylvania. That the glory may be yours and not mine. For I have nothing to offer but one life. And Lord, I offer it up to you. And in that, if it touches another and another and another, then so be it. For the glory you've given me is too big to keep to myself. I must pass it on. That is the labor that we have to do. For we labor not in vain. As we have already heard, that when we labor in the Lord, He will bring into His house the rejoicing. When Paul was talking to the Thessalonians, you are our rejoicing. All those people, and I hate to tell you this, folks, but you may never know of any one person ever coming to salvation through your life. At least not on this side of the grave. But there is a time coming when you will know. And that's what I want you to know. That's what I want you to understand. You see, here's a reality. Jesus speaks to us from the Scriptures and He says, "Cast not your pearls before swine, lest they trample them and turn and devour you." And that's what's happening in our world. We are so fearful of being attacked and trampled and downtrodden that we're afraid of what might happen. And the reality is we're already defeated. But God says, "Cast not your pearls before swine." Lord, what pearls? Well, in this instance, it's the pearls. You are my pearls. Because you are the joy of the Lord's heart from me. Okay? For me, I should say. Because when I get to heaven, I want to be there when God gives you your crowns. Because I want a joy for you. See, it's not about what I get. It's about what you're going to get. And I know that. I don't deserve anything, folks. Never have and never will. But God knows my heart. And I want to see Jules in heaven. And I want to see the Lord place that crown on her head. And you know what? Her eyes are going to be full of tears, aren't they? Because she's going to say, "Oh, Lord, I don't deserve this." And He's going to wipe those tears away and say, "Oh, no, my child. No, my child. This is yours. You've earned it. For as I have loved you, so too have you loved the world." And that's what I want us to understand. Pearls are small things. They're not very big. And they're not fairly expensive. I mean, there's 4 pearls in here, and that's probably about $15, $20 worth of pearls. And in our lives, it's easy to throw out things. We come from a throwaway society, don't we? We've been taught well that, well, you know, it doesn't suit me right now, so I'm just going to chuck that away. But the reality is we get pearls every day. We get the opportunity to share the gospel every day in the way we live our lives, in the way we act around others, and by the actions that we take. When we think nobody's watching, you better believe there are people watching. So God says, don't cast your pearls before swine, because in the form of a week, how many pearls are you gathering up that you don't even know about? Because one or two pearls isn't worth a whole lot. But we need to remember that if we truly treasure them up and begin to store them, all of a sudden, we've got a necklace. Have any of you ever priced a pearl necklace? That might be, what, a week's worth in the life of a Christian? And we need to remember, we serve a gracious God, and pearls come in all different colors, in all different forms, in all different fashions. And our God says, but I'm not done. I'm so gracious. I love you so much. I want you to understand so much. And as the weeks go by, and as the months go by, we begin to understand that our life lived in Jesus Christ is worth so much more, because He just keeps pouring out opportunity upon opportunity. Oops, wrong pocket. Upon opportunity. Oops, wrong pocket. There it is. And before we know it, we have a treasure that is worth so much more simply because we continue to give and hold and receive and know and be. Brothers and sisters, you are putting crown, you are putting jewels into your crown every day of your lives. If you are working in the kingdom, if you are bringing people into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you may not be harvesting that seed. You may be planting that seed. You may be watering that seed. But the reality is, if you are giving unto the Lord, you are creating your crown. You are filling it with the splendor of many jewels. And remember, the more jewels there are in that crown, the more radiant it will be, because God's got to make the crown bigger to fit the jewels. What are you working for? What's your life measuring up to? If you're measuring it by your bank account or what's happening in this world to you or for you, you've missed the picture. There are people who have millions and billions of dollars who are going to lose it all and gain nothing. And there are people who have never had a penny who are going to come to the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. And because they shared their position that they now have, when they get to the banquet feast, Jesus is going to meet them at the door and say, come with me. I have a seat of honor for you. Sit here at my right hand. And oh, what a day that will be. Brothers and sisters, as we close today, Jesus reminds us from John 16:22. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice. And no one will take away your joy. Today, as we close, there will be no benediction hymn. There will be only my prayer for each and every one of you. And today, are we up and ready? Today, I pray that you will receive my prayer for you. When it's over, as you are ready, you may go out into the world.